This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We've been talking a lot about politics today, political systems, and what would politics be without money, right? So government and opposition MPs will be given equal allocation starting from the coming month, really. So we thought we'd get into that.
Yeah, and this move, so it's for the final 4 months of this year. It's under the Prime Minister's special allocation, and it is, of course, said to be in line with the Prime Minister's commitment to implementing parliamentary transformation. It's also in addition to the allocation provided by the government under the five-year Malaysia plan. And all of which to say, I think while we've been talking about allocations, we cannot ignore when it is that we're talking about it, because it is during a time of pandemic. It is therefore during a time of increased need, I think, for these sorts of allocations and for the kinds of on-ground work and on-ground issues that they could help resolve. So that's just something that we wanted to get into. And also because the reason why it's news is because it's not always the case.
It's not always the case. And we're also not sure whether this is going to be permanent. At the moment, it's for 4 months. And, you know, because it is, as you said, pandemic and recovery and so on. But what would that future look like if opposition and government MPs receive the same budget allocation? We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this new development? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Wong Chen, who is MP for Subang. Wong Chen, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
So, to get a clearer picture of that disparity in allocations, what are the current allocations for a government versus a non-government MP?
Well, government MPs get two allocations. They get one for their office expenses, which is roughly 300,000 a year. Second allocation is for community welfare and development, where the government MP can give out grants for community project repairs and make donations to help the poor. And that's about 3.5 million a year. As for the opposition MP, which I belong to, we get zero allocation for our office expenses, a big fat zero, and 100,000 only for our community. And that's for the COVID period.
So now that both government and opposition MPs will be given equal allocation, at least for the next 4 months, what does this decision signify in your view?
Well, it signifies progress. And this thing stems directly from the recently concluded MOU between the government and PH. The equal allocation is one of the 19 reforms that the government has to do in the MOU. And it's a relatively simple reform because, as you all pointed out correctly, the Prime Minister has the executive power to do this. That is why the speed of this reform is fast. Yeah, but, you know, we all know that this is wrong. The system is wrong. The Prime Minister shouldn't have all these super discretionary powers, you know, to exert undue influence and over MPs because he controls the purse string. So what we should do really is, after this 4 months of pay or resources allocated to us, is that we should push hard to remove the powers of discretion of the Prime Minister and transfer it to Parliament, where this discretionary practice becomes an actual right or legislative right to all MPs to have equal allocation.
Now, you mentioned that MOU. How would this particular move ensure better political stability?
Well, one of the many political frogs out there that jumped, claimed to have jumped because they didn't get enough allocation, no allocation, and that is being really hard being in opposition. But you don't see me jumping or, you know, 90, 100 of us jumping, right? But having said that, I do understand if you come from like a rural area or Dalaman, yeah, or the Borneo states, then obviously, if you don't have allocation, it's very difficult for you to survive as a politician. So what this essentially has done is it will directly or indirectly lessen party hopping. And that means a much more politically stable environment for Malaysia.
So, as you said, the system is problematic, but when Pakatan Harapan was in power, opposition MPs received less allocation as well, following on how it had been in the past. How was this received by the then opposition? And could you talk to us about, I guess, the rationale behind that?
Well, there's no rationale. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say there's absolutely no rationale whatsoever. You know, of course, the opposition back then, which is the government now, were very unhappy. They only got 100,000 for their office expenses. This was one of the many reforms that PH was supposed to carry out but didn't. When I raised the issue with some PH ministers back then, some of them were of the view that, you know, it's now their time to suffer what they've done to us for years and years. So the tables have turned. So there was a very simplistic and brutal attitude, I suppose. But there were also a lot of political reasons behind it. I mean, in particular, Dr. Mahathir was trying to court and successfully courted 13 UMNO defections to Bersatu. You know, so this withholding of allocation became a political leverage of sort. The trouble in Malaysia, and as all of you know, is that principles do not mean much when politicians actually get into a position of power.
Let's talk about what that money can actually do, right? How do these funds translate into on-the-ground work that an MP's office does?
Well, for me, because I don't have money, our on-the-ground work is really limited. Right. So, but we are very lucky because we do have guardian angels out there that out of the blue, I didn't sort any money, but they just dropped some money on my lap. So last year we raised $60,000 from some Buddhist association, which I've never met in my life, but are friends of my wife. So we used that money and we ran a program of contactless delivery of voucher because we didn't want people to collect boxes of food from us. It's dangerous. So we designed a system like that. And that continued this year because today I made an announcement about IGM Corp giving me 100,000 to pursue the same thing. So on the groundwork becomes easier if you get the direct allocation. Yeah. So that's the situation for COVID, I think.
With this increase in allocation then, where are you going to be directing those funds?
Okay, for my office allocation. And we are made to understand that this will continue beyond the 4 months, right? So if next year I have 300,000 for my office expenses, that's basically 25,000 a month. It goes towards three offices that I have, plus their EPF, that comes about 10K. And then 5K for rental and utilities, 5K for operating costs, 2 or 3K for my interns, and then, you know, 2 or 3K for your CAPEX, like you're going to buy computers or something like that, or photocopier. So all this adds up, right? So we that's how I will be spending the office allocation, and we publish our accounts every 6 months. It's publicly available for everybody on my Facebook. As for the community allocation, that's a bit tough because 3.5 million is a lot of money to spend. So the way I design it is quite simple. I have 51 schools in Subang. I give each and every school $50,000 for repairs. And all schools are in a state of, you know, not great state or, you know, they need a lot of repairs. So they choose what to repair. They tell me they want to repair the toilets or the roof or fences or drains or buy fire safety equipment. It's up to them. I just give them the money. And at 51 school, that's about 2.5 million. So that takes care of my 3.5. I've got 1 million left. For that, I usually give grants to associations like Rukun Tetangga, Buddhist Association, Christian Association, Mor Surau. And I have about 300 associations in my area. You know, Qigong included, also for the sub-associations. And that swallows up 600,000, roughly. And then the remaining 400,000 I have left, I tend to give it to welfare. So people who are really desperately poor or they had an accident or even cancer or even a fire. So we do give like somewhere between 200-300 to 1,000 in certain circumstances. And we do have small projects to do like garden, community garden they need. $8,000. So those are ad hoc. So generally, that's how I would spend the 3.5 million.
So for now, that equal allocation is for 4 months, the last 4 months of the year. Do you think this might be a decision that would outlast the pandemic? Are you hopeful that it might be?
I really hope this happens because, you know, the practice should be continued irrespective of who becomes the next government. I mean, Malaysia is the only country that I'm aware of that practices this system of winner takes all, where government MPs get money and opposition MPs get nothing. When I share this, when, you know, I go to quite a few international conferences before the pandemic. And, you know, I always share it with international MPs. I'm just surprised. Even in the dysfunctional democracies in Africa and Middle East, they don't have that. I mean, they just give everybody equally because you won an election, you get the same, right? So I sincerely hope that the current government, having experienced 22 months of hardship with no resources under PH, I hope they see the value of continuing equal resources as a right and not as a political tool to punish opponents. Because the current government, they too suffered defections during the time. Of course, now things have reversed. They use it as a tool for them to be re-defecting back to them, right? So I just hope that the current government, you know, we have a new prime minister, we have an MOU signed, there's a bit of spirit of hope of reconciliation of some sort, at least some sort of ceasefire in time of pandemic. I hope that they would gain experience or hardship from those 22 months and then translate it into something that is good for everybody moving forward.
Wong Chen, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Subang MP Wong Chen weighing in on the equal allocation that has been announced for opposition MPs equal to government MPs. Do continue sharing your thoughts with us. What do you make of this? Would you like to see this be made permanent? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So we do have Jonathan saying, equitable aid is the rights of all parliamentarians. After all, denying the aid is like denying the rights of Malaysian citizens. Remember, members are elected by Malaysians.
Yes, this is the most annoying thing. I'm sorry to be so direct, but I really think it is, right? Because what is that even? It makes absolutely no sense, especially when you think about the kinds of things that money is supposed to go to, and also who is contributing to the kitty from which those funds are being dispersed to begin with.
Taxpayer money.
So yes, I don't understand why it is that you say that we are in a democracy and then some people get punished for their vote. It just doesn't make any sense.
And it allows for those things that end up undermining the democracy, right? Holding seats hostage, party hopping, as Wong Chen pointed out, and all because it's not viewed as actually being very useful or helpful to even be in the opposition unless you have other sources of funding and so on. And it just makes the whole system extremely unwieldy to have that kind of check and balance. Keep those thoughts coming. For now, for 4 months, we are going to have equal allocation between opposition and government MPs. What do you make of that? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be looking at your messages after this, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.